Well, here we are in another rich, deep passage in this letter to the Hebrews. And I'm going to pray for our time in His Word. Lord, we want to treasure Your Word and Your wisdom and Your insight and put our hearts and souls at rest in Your Word and Your wisdom and Your insights. As Psalm 62 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation is from You. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from You. Amen. Well, I have some questions this morning, but I think I already know the answer to this one, but here we go. Have you ever had a season in your life that you were restless? I mean, I think to be human is to be restless, right? Maybe you're in one of those seasons right now that the winds of worry or work or willfulness make you edgy or restless in your soul. Saint Augustine wrote in his autobiographical work called The Confessions, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until we find rest in You." I have that on the bottom of your outline. Augustine believed that human souls are characterized by an ongoing dissatisfaction that can only be filled by God. He also believed that restlessness in our heart is actually a gift from God, because part of our human nature then moves us to seek the divine. You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in You. And that line that he wrote actually summarizes his life. It's a theme of his life. His life had been full of desperate searches for fulfillment. He was born to an upper-class family in North Africa over 1,500 years ago. He was well-educated and traveled, and at an early age, he lived a life of excessive pleasures, many false religions, philosophy, indulgence, diversions, and distractions. And in his own words, he was a slave to lust. And he found it all futile. It left him so weary of himself, he cried out to God, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And when he did that, God brought him to a passage. He was 31 years old when that happened. Circumstances led him to a passage in Romans that showed him he could be free from sin and, in his words, the lust of his flesh. Shortly after that, he was baptized. A few years later, his mother and his son passed away, and that's when he gave all his money away to the poor and entered the priesthood at age 37. He left a teaching philosophy profession to be a preacher, and he preached thousands and thousands and thousands of sermons in his lifetime. A decade after he was baptized, he wrote the book, The Confessions. It actually took him 5 years. And it is essentially a prayer book to God. Some of you are nodding your head. Maybe you've read it. The Confessions is his own testimony of God's interaction with him, a soul that had found rest in its creator. He experienced all of this personally when he wrote, "You have made us for Yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in You." So how about you? Are you a restless soul? How does your soul find rest? Do you agree with Augustine that we are restless until we rest in the name of Jesus? Do you agree with the author of Hebrews that true rest, our Sabbath rest, is found in Jesus? This is where we are today. We're continuing in chapters 3 and 4 with the warnings and the promises that we read. And today's declaration is there's better rest available to us. True rest for our souls is in Jesus. Our two divisions in Hebrews 4 are, one, be careful. The warning continues. That's verses 1 to 5. And then we're going to talk about today, again, today, in verses 6 to 11. Our passage is really an encouragement to believe and repent, to come to Jesus for rest. So I'll just frame things up again. I said before, Hebrews 3 and 4 are kind of one big thought, and it started with fix our thoughts on Jesus, the Son. We follow Moses. We know Moses was a faithful servant in God's house, but how much more do we follow Jesus, the faithful son, over God's house, over the family of God? We've been hearing a very strong, urgent warning that as long as it is today, and I know I said this before, but every day is today, today, listen and follow and obey the voice of the Holy Spirit. It is wisdom to follow the Holy Spirit's lead. It's disobedient or rebellious to resist his lead like God's people did in the wilderness desert. And there's a price to be paid for disobedience and testing God. The warning from chapter 3, to beware of hardening your heart, continues today. Our passage opens with a couple of special words, the words therefore and be careful. So whenever you see the word therefore, you're probably taught this in school, what's the therefore, therefore? Now you're going to remember that every time you see in scripture, therefore. This therefore is to draw attention to the warning about unbelief and draw attention to the promise of rest. And then we have the words, be careful. So let's read a couple of verses and talk about what we're to be careful of. So starting in verse 1, chapter 4. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did, but the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. The promise to enter God's rest still stands. He's faithful to his promises. His promises still stand. But we're to be careful that our faith doesn't fall short, that our faith is real. It actually translates into saying you should be fearful or dread that among us, some will actually stay in unbelief and resist the Holy Spirit. So the word here for be careful is actually the word we get phobia from. So it's a reverence or to be struck with fear or to have alarm in your heart. So the writer is pretty much saying to us, this is really serious. This is life and death. This was life and death for the wilderness generation. Well, being around something is not the same as accepting or believing or trusting. Being surrounded or having access to something is not the same as partaking in what you have access to. Being around believers is not believing. Being exposed to or hearing the gospel is not the same as believing or trusting in Jesus as your Savior. So the author is saying, be on alert that you and your loved ones could hear the gospel good news of Jesus and then not respond with a believing heart, not respond in faith. The gospel has been preached. God has communicated with humanity his plan for salvation and life and rest for our souls. And he's clearly communicated that plan to us now. He revealed his whole plan in the person of Jesus. Jesus is the full revelation of God. He is the logos or word of God. Many heard him, but didn't respond in faith because they didn't value the truth of who Jesus is and his message of freedom and life and the invitation to join his kingdom. I had to kind of pause on that phrase, not valuing his message. It's saying, yeah, what he says isn't beneficial to me. There's no advantage or gain or profit for me to respond to that in faith and believe Jesus' message. So kind of in modern terms, that's kind of saying, I'll be my own savior. Or I like my life this way. I only count on myself. I don't count on anybody else. Or I'm going to find a way or try many ways to save my soul or find rest for my soul. So who in your intimate circle of friends or family has not valued the good news of Jesus? Would you ask your table to pray, this is life and death. Let's be praying for our loved ones. Another phrase that I kind of had to park on is falling short of it. So be careful that you don't fall short. Falling short is to be behind or tardy or too late. Like being left behind in a race so that you never get to the goal. You don't partake in finishing. Those who fall short of entering God's rest fall short of faith in their own heart. Hearing alone is not enough. The response of the heart to hearing the good news of Jesus and life and rest of him, in him is required. So most of you here have kids, and I know we've all been around kids. So let's say you offer your kids dinner or a ride somewhere they want to go, or maybe even bought tickets to a movie and say, hey, I have this offer. I'm going to take you to the movies. And they say, yes, oh, I would love that. Sure, I'm going to be right there. But they don't actually walk over to you. They don't actually get in the car. They don't take the ride. They don't take the movie ticket. They don't go with you. Does it really mean anything that they said they wanted to if they don't actually follow it with actions, right? This is falling short of faith. That's a picture of falling short in faith. Hearing, but not believing and trusting with action. But there's hope. The rest God promises to his people remains open. Rest is still available. Entering God's rest by faith is an opportunity for all who believe or turn in belief. As long as we are breathing, God's rest is available to us. Our author is reminding us the opportunity to enter God's rest remains open. So what is God's rest? This is rest beyond reaching the promised land for the wilderness generation, for those that were delivered from Egypt. This is spiritual rest in God alone. I kind of like to look at Greek translations. It helps me so much because I don't speak Greek, and this was written in Greek. So the translation for the word rest is putting to rest, calming the winds. That has meant so much to me. Resting in God is calming the winds in our soul. The restlessness or winds in our soul calms us. Maybe the winds of despair or discouragement or distraction are making you restless. They are calmed in our soul when we rest in God. For those of us who believe, we enter his rest. And we experience that rest two ways. One, we have entered his rest when we trust him through salvation. Our salvation work is done and finished and complete. So we experience his rest in taking his salvation offered to us. And then secondly, we experience it in process in an ongoing basis. And I'm gonna use the word surrender for that. As part of the present daily reality of being a believer or follower of Jesus, it's surrendering on an ongoing basis, the day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, trust in him. I'm gonna read a few more verses, starting with verse 3. Now we who have believed enter that rest, just as God has said, so I declared on oath that in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works have been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. I think it's kind of funny. Somewhere God said that. He knows his audience knows that's in Genesis that God said that. Anyway, here we are. We are reminded again of the seriousness of not valuing the gospel message and responding with faith. Falling short or lacking faith stops us from entering the rest for our soul available in God. That's what the wilderness generation did. Their unbelief, their disobedience, their grumbling, and their fear blocked them from God's rest in the promised land. And I don't want us to miss this. There's a great and beautiful mystery here in our verses about God's rest. After God's perfect completed work of creation was done, he rested. He was well pleased with all his creation work, and he rested after all his creation work was complete. Genesis 2:2, which is referenced, says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Well, what astounds you or convicts you about God resting? I told the table I was sitting with, I am not God. I always feel like there's more to do. He has way more responsibility than me. He's sustaining the entire world. And he set from the time of creation the rhythm of rest in me. He rested on the seventh day. And what is this phrase, Jesus' works are done since the creation of the world? This is mysterious. The plan of our salvation, the plan of us drawing near to God, was set in motion and complete from the time of creation. He aimed his love and grace toward you and me through Jesus before the creation of the world. Well, our author is also referencing the practice of Sabbath. Sabbath rest is a regular rhythm in our week. God rested and was well satisfied with the work that he completed. And he's commanded his followers to set a rhythm. First he set the example, and then he said he gave a command to set a rhythm of weekly Sabbath, ceasing from work and filling the time with worship and communing with him and others. This is so counterculture. This is saying, less is more. Janet, less is more. Our culture says, more, more, more. More is more, more. Do more, be more. I want us to look at Sabbath as a gift. Sabbath is a gift. For me, it's always about trust. I'm not God. My work is, women, we always know there's more that we could be doing. There's more work to do. But it's a gift to cease work and trust God, who is my help, that I will finish what is required of me in due time, leaving things unfinished and trusting him. It's trusting and living that my worth isn't what I do, it's who I belong to, it's who I am. He loves me, not what I do, only what I do. Stopping and delighting in him and resting in what he has done is a way to honor and trust him with every area of my life. I'm just gonna say, this is how we live set apart now, is proclaiming rest in him and the need, that the gift of ceasing work and not finding our value in it. Our full salvation and identity and security is in Jesus. It's in him, not based on what you or I do or what we produce, but who we are in Jesus. So I'm going to go back to those two words of God's rest, salvation and surrender. We experience salvation now, peace with God, free of guilt from our sin, and truth in the person of Jesus. When we trust him, our salvation is complete. It's knowing the Holy Spirit is given to me and to you as an advocate and comforter, and the assurance of God's constant presence in our life. That's what salvation brings. That's rest. And then there's surrender, surrendering any and all self-effort. No more trying to please God with human efforts or works. This is less is more, not more is more, 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 more. It's less is more. We who believe enter his rest by surrendering to the perfection and completion of Jesus' work. And I love looking back at Hebrews 1:1-3, at the picture of Jesus the Son, after making purification for sins for all people, all time, everywhere, he seated himself. He ascended and is seated at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. His work is done. He's seated in a new enthronement. Jesus, having made atonement for my sin and your sin, has completed the work of our salvation, and then he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. So what works? What effort could I ever, ever give that could possibly add or compare to Jesus and his finished work? It's belief and faith and obedience that please God. It's where our heart is when we're serving the Lord that is meaningful to him. It's not my effort, not my work, but a soft heart, authentic affection and devotion to our seated King, trusting that he's gonna produce the fruit of his Spirit in me. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm just gonna say, those are some things I can never do those all on my own, right? But we have his Spirit to produce that fruit. It's about surrendering to the Spirit. Augustine said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." Are you restlessly striving to earn the favor of God? Are you restlessly searching everywhere to satisfy the thirst in your soul? It will only be quenched in Jesus, our true, complete rest. We who believe enter his rest. And surrender is the door to his salvation and his rest. I love Psalm 62. That's on your outline too. Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. I feel like that's really good self-talk. That's a really good prayer and praise for us to remember. Because deeply trusting God with our lives is what gives rest to our souls. And that's our first truth. Deeply trusting God with my life, day by day, gives rest to my soul, or that definition, calms the winds in my soul. What are the winds blowing in your soul that need to be calmed, to be put to rest? Is there worry or work or willfulness blowing through your soul? Well, I'll tell you one of the ways that he calms the winds in my soul. He uses his word to do that. Last year, some of you remember that I had to have a surgery, and as I was recovering from surgery, I had so many restless nights. I used to be a person who could just fall asleep and sleep really hard, but in those many restless nights where I was uncomfortable and recovering and I couldn't sleep, well, what do I start to do? Then I start to worry. Then I'm thinking. I cannot stop myself, and I toss and turn. So, like, what a picture of being restless. Well, one of the practices that we've talked about here at TPC is silence and solitude, but in that, a practice of breath prayer. So what the Lord had me do in those many restless nights, and I'm just going to tell you, I had one last night. I woke up in the middle of the night, and I'm like, okay, Janet, practice what you preach. You need to do this. We always have the opportunity to enter into God's rest. Anyway, I took the verse, one of the verses I love, Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. And I made that last phrase a breath prayer. Quiet me with your love. Quiet me with your love. And I pray that to God and ask him to quiet the winds in my soul. Calm me down so I can rest. What is the wind in your soul that blows you around restless day by day? We are restless until we find rest in God. And we enter his rest through belief in the Son. And as we start our next division, we have an emphasis on the urgency of today. So I'll read verses 6 and 7, which is quoting Psalm 95 again. Therefore, since it still remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. So here's another therefore. What's the therefore? Therefore. Well, the author just finished saying in verse 1, the promise of entering God's rest still stands. And now continuing the thought, there remains for some to enter the rest of God. Because of God's mercy and his patience, he is waiting for more to come to him for soul rest, for salvation and peace and reconciliation and atonement through him, through Jesus. Some have heard and not obeyed or surrendered, but there remains some to come to him. 2 Peter 3:9 tells us God's patience means repentance. The verse says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. And I'm just going to say he's patient toward our loved ones, not wishing that any should perish, but that all would reach repentance. The Lord is patient. While there remain some to come to him in repentance and surrender and belief and obedience, he waits because his heart is that none would perish, that none would miss his rest. And our verses say, God set a certain day, calling it today. Every day is called today. This verse is saying, God is saying, this day. Today there means this day is the day set. He did this when he spoke through David too in Psalm 95. This day, turn. This day, listen, believe. This day, today, listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit and don't harden your heart in resistance. this day, return to God and rest in him. So our author keeps reminding us of a timeless history and a lesson from history and a warning in that. The warning for Moses and the wilderness generation who wandered for 40 years is a judgment for their disbelief. Remember, they stayed stuck in unbelief through grumbling and fear and didn't enter the promised land. The warning was for David's time also. He wrote Psalm 95 later. And this begins with the call to come worship the Lord. But the warning is there, don't harden your heart when you hear the Spirit's voice. Our author wants us to learn from history. The warning is for the recipients of the letter of Hebrews, and it's still very relevant for us today. Don't harden your heart when you hear the Lord's voice. Instead, turn and trust. Repent and enter his rest today, this day. Not later, not tomorrow, not next week. Today. God has set a certain day. Let's rest in him this day. I'm going to read the last couple of verses in our passage, verses 8 to 11. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. So back to the generation who were delivered from slavery from Egypt, who were disobedient and died in the wilderness. Their children and their children's children were led by Joshua, who replaced Moses as the leader. Joshua led them into the promised land. God's rest for his people was realized when they entered the promised land and God was present there with them. Joshua obediently led the people at God's command. God's words to God's people in Joshua 1:13 tells us the Lord, Joshua said to the people, "The Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land." They had rest from their wandering. Rest was waiting for them as they conquered the promised land. And the Lord did it for them. Joshua, as a leader, took courage and was obedient to the Lord. God told him, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord, I am with you." He led the people into their rest, and that generation followed Joshua as their leader. They followed God. After subduing enemies, the 12 tribes received their allotted land that had been promised, and they knew rest. Joshua 23 says, after a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua was very old and summoned all Israel to say farewell to them. Joshua, the faithful, courageous, strong leader and conqueror over the enemies of God to take over the promised land, led the people to the promised land and into rest. But Hebrews 4 says, Joshua did not give the people rest because God spoke about another day. There remains for the people of God another rest, a Sabbath rest, another day coming beyond the fulfillment of the promised land and rest in the land. And we know that that land is not at rest now, but there remains another day. So what is this Sabbath rest? It's a hyphenated word in our passage. It's one word, Sabbath rest, that our author is speaking about now. The Sabbath rest coming for the people of God is entered by faith, and it's a resting in the salvation work of Jesus, and it is resting in the promised return of Jesus. The Sabbath day practiced by God's people is a foreshadow of the Sabbath rest to come. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He completed the work of salvation. He stepped right into that foreshadow or that silhouette of rest and Sabbath and ceased work to come to God with a heart of worship. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. The work of our salvation is done. So again, I went to the Greek word. It's one word. Sabbath rest is sabbatismos. It's a keeping Sabbath. It's a maintained forever kind of Sabbath. And I'm gonna read the Blue Letter Bible definition of it. The blessed rest from toils and troubles looked for in the age to come by the true worshipers of God and true Christians. This is the only place in Scripture we have this unique Greek word. So what's the author pointing to? This is beyond resting in promises to come. This is beyond resting in the land and having peace amidst enemies. This is beyond keeping a work-rest rhythm in our life to honor the Lord and giving him our full trust and worship on that day that we cease work. This is our future if we're true worshipers and followers of Jesus. This is a permanent, eternal Sabbath rest, a keeping Sabbath, a keeping rest in God, with God forever in his forever kingdom. The Sabbath rest maintained forever in the age to come. This is the Sabbath rest that will be maintained forever in the age to come when all the enemies of God, when evil is defeated forever. God's heart for his people has always been to rest in him, to enjoy him, and to be in perfect fellowship with him. That was creation perfection. But perfection was disrupted by sin. Broken fellowship with the Creator and distrust and doubt and shame entered in. But God made a way back to him. He always faithfully provides a way to come close to him. The way to God is now in and only through Jesus. And Jesus is coming again to restore creation back to perfection and overthrow evil for good. This is the Sabbath rest for those who believe, restored perfection, eternal restored perfection. This isn't just ceasing work, it's completion and fullness in Sabbath rest. Scriptures paint a picture for us of what this will look like. It's really kind of too wonderful to even imagine. But promised rest is pictured for us. I'm going to read from Revelation 21. You can even close your eyes when I read this to just imagine restored perfection. This is John writing. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." God said to me, "John, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost, and from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." Beautiful, right? A beautiful picture of Sabbath rest waiting for believers, those of us who wait in faith for Jesus to return. So how do we enter this Sabbath rest? It's available to us now, and we'll know it in fullness in the age to come. I have two more words for you: repentance and dependence. Repentance, we enter this rest available to us now through the gift of repenting and returning to God. When we hear his voice, then we confess our sins and turn away from our own ways and our sin back to him. Repenting is the opposite of resisting his voice. It's listening, humbly repenting, and leaving lesser loves for his love and his way. And then secondly, it's dependence. Don't depend on our own resources. Our loving God has provided a Savior, Jesus, who finished the work of our salvation. We bring nothing. It is finished, and we trust in him and his Spirit's work in us to change us. So what works for your salvation, or what labor are you striving in? How is that blocking you from entering God's Sabbath rest? Jesus' words in Matthew 5:3 are, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, the empty-handed, the humble who bring emptiness and wholehearted trust to him. Blessed are the poor in spirit," or "Blessed are the poor in soul who seek soul rest in him." The Sabbath rest for the people of God is for right now. Yes, God has something better for us when his son returns, but trusting now gives us soul rest now. Our hearts are restless until we find our rest in him. Our second truth is my only true Sabbath rest is the finished work of Jesus. My only true Sabbath rest is the finished work of Jesus. And we're encouraged to make every effort today, which we now is this day, make every effort this day. This is the day we have to enter Sabbath rest in Jesus. So what is the wind that stirs your soul and makes you restless or edgy and you're not stopping working for your salvation? Is it fear or failure, fear that you'll never be enough? What do you think it means to make every effort to rest in God? So isn't like making every effort and rest kind of opposites? Making every effort is diligence. It's intentionality to surrender, to diligently listen for the voice of the Lord and to follow his lead, to know his promises and look forward to his fulfillment of his promises. So I told you before about one of the practices I've learned is breath prayer. I also have something called a pause app. We've talked about this at Bible study before. It's literally an app called Pause. It's a John Eldridge book and app. It encourages me to enter rest that's available to me now. And I'm just going to confess to you, being in Hebrews has really convicted me. I get notifications from my phone to pause and pray, and I have ignored and ignored and ignored them. What do I need more than to pay attention to that reminder to take everything to God in prayer? And it's a beautiful prayer. The Pause app walks us through saying, Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. Jesus, I give everyone and everything to you. I need more of you, God. That is so helps my heart to reorient. It's not up to me to carry the world. He is, and I give everything to him. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. This Sabbath rest is available to us now. So I have one question for you to meditate on maybe this week. It's from our last question in our lesson. What can you do this day to enter his rest? God convicted me this morning to make a list of all the burdens I'm carrying that do not belong to me and belong to him alone. Maybe that's what you want to do. You want to actually list out and keep praying that list to him. Give everything to God. Maybe you want to read and meditate on Matthew 11, 28 to 30. That's all part of our last question in our lesson. Ask God, what do you want me to lay down, Lord? What am I to surrender? What am I to repent? Where am I not depending on you? So would you close your eyes? I'm gonna read from Matthew 11 as I lead us into a closing prayer. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. In me you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, we know that our true Sabbath rest is you. Our true Sabbath rest is Jesus. Show us what to do this day to enter into that rest, Lord. Is it surrender? Is it repentance? Is it depending on you more fully, completely? Truly, my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Yes, my soul finds rest in God. My hope comes from him. Amen.